Well, we certainly have a wonderful day in which to come and to worship God. And we're coming off a very good week, a great gospel meeting with Brother Don Miller. And I've heard so many positive comments about our gospel meeting. I hope that you enjoyed the spiritual feast that was planned by our elders, designed to build us up spiritually and also to have the gospel proclaimed in our community right here. Thank you for being here this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles. I'll ask you to turn to our text passage. If you want to go ahead and get ready, just go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to start off by just asking a simple question. And the question is this. Is your life busy? You know, quite honestly, I don't know anybody who would answer that question by saying no. Everyone I know is busy. I often say that. Everybody I know seems to be busy. And Americans today seem to be not only scheduled with events, but overscheduled with events. I've even heard retirement, people who are retired, say, I don't even know when I ever found time to work. I'm so busy. Maybe that describes you. We live busy lives. And so as a child of God, really, a lot of times, those things that we do each day boils down to where do our priorities lie? And certainly, we need to make sure that one of our priorities is choosing to do good over choosing that which is evil. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul kind of set forth some of those contrasts beginning in verse 6. And he talked about those in Old Testament times at the beginning of this chapter dealing with Moses. And then he said about those events, now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some also complain, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. So when we think about that idea of priorities, we're to choose a priority of practicing what is right and good over that which is evil and wrong. But what happens when we have choices in our life between good things? That's really not a choice between bad and evil and that which is right. But what if we have two good things presented before us? How then do we make that choice? Well, I believe there is a principle involved. James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so we have to make a choice then where we don't violate our own conscience about something that we know we should be doing. But really our text passage here in Luke chapter 10 kind of involves a discussion of what we just mentioned, about choosing one good thing over another good thing. And incidentally, this sermon is really one of our profiles of Bible characters that we launched out at the beginning of the year. And that is, it's a profile of Mary and Martha found here in Luke chapter 10. Now, Luke chapter 10 just kind of set the events at the beginning. In verse 1, Jesus sends out the 70 to go and to teach. And we read, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he gave instructions in regards to what they were to do and how they were to act as they went. And in verse 17, they returned from their journey. And the Bible says that when they came back, they had joy because of what they did. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And then we have other events found in chapter 10, one of which Jesus gives a great statement made to the lawyer who came testing him. So in verse 27, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he takes that occasion to illustrate what that means by giving the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that takes us up then to verse 38. And in verse 38, Jesus is traveling to the village where Mary and Martha live. And he's going to enter into Martha's house. And we're going to see then a lesson that I believe really talks about priorities. And when I subtitle this sermon about Mary and Martha, I call it Fatal Distractions. How we can be distracted even by something which is good. And we can see that as it's brought out through this text. So look at verse 38. Now it happened as they went, they entered a certain village. That's Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And I want us to just pause for a second and think what it must have been like to have the Son of God come into our house. Now just think about that. If you knew that the Savior of all mankind was coming into your house, what would you do to prepare for that visit? You know, it'd be like no other visit ever before. We would probably even kind of spruce, set the place up in such a way, spruce the place up, even if the mayor of Athens came to our house. Or what about if the governor of the state of Alabama, if she were to come into our house, would you want to make sure that things were so-so? Now imagine if the president and his wife, Melania, came to your house. But even beyond all that, what about the Son of God? What about Jesus coming to your house? What decisions would you make to make sure that things were just right? Well, I want to point out, as I mentioned, this is a story of priorities. And we see that not only Martha was there, but also Mary. But look at verse 39. And she, that's Martha, had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, what verse 39 tells us is it tells us about the priority of the sister of Martha. It tells us about Mary. Mary is a common name, especially in the New Testament. Our last profile or character that we studied was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we could even be talking about Mary Magdalene. Mary is mentioned several times throughout the scripture, but in this occasion, this is Mary of Bethany. Not the mother of Jesus. I don't want you to be confused about that. Nor is it Mary Magdalene. It's Mary of Bethany. And we read about Mary of Bethany mentioned three times in the scripture. Now what is ironic about the three times she's mentioned in scripture is that all three times she's at the feet of Jesus. Let me show you another time she's at the feet of Jesus. Look over here in John chapter 11. Here's someone else from Bethany. and that is Lazarus. Lazarus had passed away. And Mary and Martha are there. Look, beginning in verse 30, John chapter 11. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Later on, she has something to say then to Jesus in this scripture. But I wanted to show you there that where Mary ended up is she fell down at the feet of Jesus. Isn't it ironic that here in Luke chapter 10, she's at the feet of Jesus? Now we find her again at the feet of Jesus. And I want to show you another time. Come over here to John chapter 12, just the next chapter, John chapter 12. Look at the first three verses. And then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. Here in a great act of humility, Mary once again ends up at the feet of Jesus, anointing the feet of Jesus with oil. Remember, Judas said that that oil could have been sold for a great deal of money. But she showed her humility by anointing the feet of Jesus and then wiping his feet with her hair. So three times then in scripture, when we read about Mary, what we see then, the posture of Mary, is a great deal of humility then towards our Lord. But in this passage right here, our text passage back in Luke 10 and 39, we see the reason why Mary was at the feet of Jesus is she was there to hear. And what she was wanting to hear is she was willing or wanting to hear the words of Jesus. And so I want to ask us today then, do we have a high priority in our lives to hear the words or the message of the Lord? Because that was the priority of Mary. And what we see right here in this passage, it was important for her to hear the words of the Lord. Is that important to you? Is that important to me? Over in John chapter 10 and in verse 37. John 10. And in verse 37, Jesus said, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. I'm reading verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so, Lord, when it comes to hearing you, who hears you? The answer is very clear. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Look over here in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew the 7th chapter. This time in verse 24, Matthew 7, and this time 24. Here our Lord said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So the question then before us is quite simple. Do we have a high priority in our life to listen to the Lord? That's one of the things that we can garner from this text in verse 39. That when Jesus was in the house, Mary chose to listen. But I want you to see something else from this text. Priorities caused Mary to listen, but Martha's priorities caused her to be distracted. Now, I mentioned that this particular sermon I could also refer to as fatal distractions. And the reason why I say that is because when you read verse 40, you can see that Martha was distracted. Read it with me. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." You know, these priorities that distracted Martha, they weren't bad. Martha was concerned about good things. She had a guest in her home, and not just any guest in her home. You know, I think about sometimes you have special people that you bring into your house, maybe a kinfolk relative into your house. Or even this past week, some of you had Brother Miller in your home. We've had Brother Miller and Brenda in our house many times. Last Sunday, we let Cracker Barrel worry about how their house looked. And we took them over to Cracker Barrel and didn't worry about how our house looked. But I know how those things go, whether or not you're having the young people's Bible study. And by the way, that's next Sunday night. We should have mentioned that. That's next Sunday night. And I believe it's at the Innes's, right? So need to make sure that everybody knows that. But I know how that is. There's a lot of getting ready. And your house, you want to make sure that it's clean. The things are presentable. That's what Martha is worried about right here. She wanted to make sure that everything was clean. What woman would not want to present their very best if Jesus was their guest? But I want to tell you, sometimes we can put good priorities in a wrong place, if that makes sense. We may have something that we choose to do or want to do, and in and of itself, that thing is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we may choose to do that over something that is better to do. And I'm really thinking about in the spiritual area. Come back just a few chapters to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And Jesus talked about several who did this very thing. Begin reading in verse 57. "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.'" Let me ask you, in and of itself, burying his father, was it wrong for this man to have an interest to bury his father? Now, Jesus tells us to let us know there's sometimes you put a better thing over a good thing. You ever heard the expression good, better, best? That we need to choose that which is the best. Look at verse 60. Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And also another said, "Lord, I will follow you. Let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So you choose then that which is best. If we're not careful, we can become distracted. And Satan can render us useless. Remember in the parable of the sower? In the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about the different grounds. On one of the grounds, a seed fell among the thorns. And what were the thorns? Jesus explained that those thorns were the riches and the cares of this world. And so really what I need to ask, where are my priorities then? Martha had her priorities in the wrong area. Martha's wrong priorities caused her to ask Jesus that question. What question is that? Remember, she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me out." Lord, can't you see I have all this to do? And I'm trying to get things set, trying to get things done, trying to get things ready. And don't you see that Mary, she's slothing, she's being a sloth. She's not doing her part. You ever felt that way at work? You ever felt at work that you're running around, your hair's on fire, you have so much to do, and then you look over at your coworker, and boy, they're just kind of not doing nothing, and you think, well, why don't you help out here? You ever felt that way? I imagine that's the way Martha is feeling, that there's nobody else here to help me. That's kind of the way Elijah felt, remember? Elijah said to God, 1 Kings 18, he said, "I'm left alone. There's no one here." And God had to remind him, there are 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. You're not left alone. It amazes me in scriptures many times the type of requests that are made of Jesus. Remember how two of the disciples said, "Lord, when you come to your kingdom, can we sit on your right hand and your left?" And Jesus says, "That's not for me to give." The other disciples were jealous. And remember how two of them, they wanted to rain down fire from heaven. "Lord, at this time, can you bring down fire from heaven? We're going to burn these people up who don't believe." And Jesus had to put them off. No, you can't do that. Martha was so caught up in her work, guess what? She didn't notice the master. She was so caught up in the work, she didn't place her emphasis in the right place. And that was on the Lord. It reminds me of the two on the road to Emmaus. They had a conversation with Jesus. They explained what happened to the man in Jerusalem. And really, they were talking about Jesus. They had that whole conversation. And Jesus explained to them from the scriptures, from the beginning to the end, about himself. And then the Bible says on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were opened. You know, I think we're like that. And sometimes our eyes need to be open to what the real priority is. Because Satan will try to distract us. Satan will try to get us to be caught up in this event, that event, this problem or that problem, this gossip or some other gossip. Satan can distract us so we will become rendered useless in the kingdom. Don't let it happen to you. And then finally, I want us to see the last part of this, verse 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Oh, brethren, doesn't that describe us? We are worried and troubled about many things. When we're told over in Philippians 4 to be anxious for nothing, but let our cares be known to God by prayers and supplications, let our cares be made known to God. We are worried and troubled about many things. We know that God will take care of those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. He said, give no thought of what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Don't think about that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Notice then, he says in verse 42, but one thing is needed. One thing is needed. Isn't that what Jesus told the rich ruler that Brother Mark read for us earlier? One thing that thou lackest. One thing is needed. Does that mean I only need one thing in my life to straighten out? Or I only have to have one particular part of my life? No. What he's trying to say is focus on that thing. One thing this rich man needed to focus on, how he handled his riches. He was told, remember when we read that earlier, take what you have and go and give to the poor and come and have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me and have treasure in heaven. So our one thing, we need to focus in on our love for God, our love for Christ. We need to focus in what we need to be doing spiritually. We need to be like Paul when he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on to those things which are ahead. Paul knew that he had to forget all that past and he had to press on. Let's be like Elijah, or Joshua rather. Remember what Joshua said in Joshua 24? He had a laser-like focus for him and his family. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, whether the God of the Amorites on whose land you dwell. But at the end of that verse he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. He chose, just like Mary did, the good part. Notice what Jesus said. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her each day, every week. Sometimes, maybe even within the hour, we have choices that have to be made. And many of those choices really aren't a discussion of right between wrong. We already know the answer. We're going to choose right. But sometimes it's a discussion between right and right. What do we choose? We choose the good part. The best part. The best part that's going to help us spiritually. Mary and Martha. It's a lesson about priorities. And so where do your priorities reside? Maybe this morning you have a high priority to get your life right with God. I hope that's a high priority. If you're living in sin, you're not doing right, or never obey the gospel, that needs to be a priority. Maybe you're living the Christian life. You don't feel like that describes you, what I just mentioned. But every day you know that you have some decisions to make. Choose the good part. If you have a spiritual need, you can choose it now as we stand and as we sing.